In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, we celebrate the blessed ascension of our Lord, a day which the disciples most likely didn't want to come, for it certainly seemed expedient for him to stay with them. After all, they had just come to grips with his miraculous resurrection, no doubt spending hours grappling with and contemplating certain realities and truths to life, and how that got all turned upside down through the efforts of their master and God. Everything that they knew and thought they would know had been forever altered. And after a period of 40 days following his resurrection, Jesus goes away. Just like that, as Mark's gospel states, he was taken up into heaven. For the disciples, those 40 days must have felt like a blur. Hardly enough time to come to grips with what had happened. Hardly enough time to spend with him who created time and is the source of all things living. Hardly enough time to answer the numerous questions which must have been swirling around in their heads. And from the disciples' perspective, wouldn't it have been better served to the faith for him to stay? Thinking of the miracles he would have and could have performed, and the eloquence of his spoken word. With Christ on earth, surely the battle over the earth would soon be over. With Christ with them, who would oppose them preaching the gospel and baptizing all nations? He broke the chains of death. He overcame his executioners. Surely he could have softened the hearts of those who would persecute and unloose the chains of imprisonment for his loyal followers. His voice awakened the dead out of their graves. Would not that voice be useful even today to awaken the spiritually dead of those within the church? Christ's presence would be better than an army of 10,000 apostles, and therefore, with him present at the helm of the church, the church of God would be unconquerable. And while all of this would certainly be true, and in fact there are segments of truth within what I have already stated, but it reflects a different way of thinking and approaching what would happen following Jesus' glorious ascension. And while it is also a bit lazy on the disciples' part, and would be on our part, to think in such a way. And secondly, it is not God's way. You see, if Christ had remained, instead of us picking up the plow to go and get to work, we'd be looking to him to do all the heavy lifting, and we'd never fully realize the true potential of our faith. And at that, just how genuine would our faith be? As Christ says in John chapter 16, verse 7, it is good for you that I go away. Unless I go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Christ needed to go so that the disciples' faith would grow and blossom and become infectious to others. He needed to go so that the Holy Spirit could likewise perform the will of the Father to reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, to dwell within the hearts of men, declaring the truth, guiding all men who should believe on his name into all truth. Christ's purpose is now fulfilled, and the works of the Holy Spirit about to begin. And with it, a church is born, all kickstarted and signified by his glorious ascension. As I intimated at the beginning of our homily, the disciples have been struggling to come to grips with Christ's death on the cross and had been wavering in their faith in his resurrection, lest we forget the disbelief of Thomas. And he was not the only one. Many surely doubted. But they were so strengthened at the truth of his resurrection and seeing him ascend to the heights of heaven. Not only was their sadness taken away, but their hearts were filled with joy and a fervor for Christ, a fervor that had not dwelt within their hearts ever before. It is this joy, this fervor, which fueled the apostles to go and preach the good news of Christ to those both near and far, at home and in distant lands. And that joy never left their hearts. That joy never waned, even in the face of the brutal deaths. All of them, save John, although they tried to kill him too, would suffer for the sake of Christ. For they, like Christ, counted the cost and paid it gladly with their lives. For the seeds they planted took root and are still growing today. Blessed be the Lord for his abundant goodness and mercy. Thanks be to God that his plans are beyond our plans, that he can see further down the road than we. Praise him. Praise him for giving us ears to hear those sweet words of truth as found in his holy gospel. Praise him for the faith of the saints who have gone before us and have, like him, ascended to heaven in glory. And so may we, on this day, look up into the heavens, just as his apostles did some 2,000 years ago, and contemplate the very same things which they saw, that Christ died, he rose again, and ascended into heaven. Now that you have seen these things in your mind and truly accepted them, ask yourselves, what isn't possible for our God? What isn't possible for our faith? As evidenced by the apostles in the countless miracles they performed and those performed by the saints, quite literally, the sky is the limit. And that's what I see when I look up and contemplate Christ's ascension. I see a faith of endless possibilities. And you know, I can't help but think that he gave his disciples the visual of his ascension to prove that very point. Lord, have mercy on us and help us to ascend to the heights in our faith, properly befitting the glory of your ascension, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.
Amen.